Hey, we're going to continue on with another case. This was a case that we started to do on a previous CMDS case study, but we didn't get very far into it. It's a pretty complicated case. I don't have it written up in the slides like I did for the others. I'm hoping that you can see it. So tell me if you're seeing it. Are you seeing it? Yes, Claudia? Okay, good. Great. All right, so this is Claudia's case. It's a 5'10" woman, 130 pounds, mother of seven. Holy. The only other one that I know is a mother of seven is, well, Lynn, and then who else is a mother of seven? Pamela Neves. Anyway, 5'10", 130 pounds. That's not very heavy. I mean, it's probably on the end of being a little bit underweight, which is kind of shocking when you have seven kids to maintain that kind of weight. But apparently she has got a lot of digestive issues in her upper stomach and then some hormone-related problems. So those are her chief complaints. We're going to get into more. And I'm going to periodically stop here and ask you guys for your input Pamela has eight. Because I want you guys to be thinking, right? And the way that you're going to think is if I challenge you and put you on the spot and make you think. And I know a lot of you are already doing that and you're putting a lot of great stuff in the chat. So she's had some surgeries in 1994. She had a vascular vein stripping and a breast augmentation in 1995. That, you know, immediately raises a red flag for me, breast augmentation. They could be silicone, they could be saline. Silicone is way worse, very toxic, very problematic, and puts a lot of load on the detox systems in the body to be constantly working through that substance being in the body. Or they could be saline, and there's some issues with that as well in terms of the surgical procedure and, you know, not as much problems with that. So you'd want to find out if anybody says they've had breast augmentation, what kind of breast augmentation. She had in 1995 removal of an IUD, maybe before her kids were that was before her third. The IUD was inserted soon after giving birth to her third child. So certainly those complications didn't affect her childbearing, but it could have been a problem because she said the IUD traveled to what she described as her rectal wall. So these are kinds of things where it would be helpful to actually see records to see how it's working. It's worded. The IUD traveled out of the uterus and into the space. So that's a huge issue. She had to have a DNC. Because it turned out was already pregnant and the fetus would not have survived the IUD removal. So that's really hard. So that's a huge stress. Not only does she have seven kids, but she lost one. And that's not fun. They found a grapefruit sized dermoid tumor and that was removed from her right ovary. So a dermoid tumor, it's kind of interesting when you find tumors in other parts of the body that actually have skin and hair and teeth. It's called dermoid tumors. You go, wait a minute, how did this happen, right? It's not like it's a tumor on the ovary that has ovarian tissue that's grown out of control. It's actually tissue that consists of other parts of the body, so dermoid, hair, skin, and teeth. So she's had a lot of issues and still is very highly fertile. So digestive issues. The digestive issues started about a year and a half when she started feeling intermittent upper stomach related pain at the base of the sternum and the top of the stomach. And what we think when we first hear something like that is that there's some issues with the stomach and maybe a hiatal hernia or some reflux. And she had bloating, a feeling of fullness before and after eating. It's improved somewhat since it first started. So whatever she's doing is possibly making it better. The bloating is almost constant. She also used to have tenderness on both the right and the left side, just under the rib cage, as well as right beneath the sternum. The tenderness went away a month or so after the endoscopy. Sometimes she felt pain prior to eating, like somebody punched her in the stomach, and felt the pain for a little while after a meal. The pain resolved. She has no clue why. And we'll talk about the endoscopy in a minute and why that might be the case. Her pretty bad reflux, acid reflux, which resolved starting a year and 3 months ago, it resolved after she took Peptigard. And Peptigard is a supplement. I think it's Thorn that is got DGL licorice and some other things to help soothe and help with the stomach. So she had reflux. She probably had a lot of irritation to her esophagus, and that can be creating problems. And there's a lot of referred pain there as well. So this whole thing started about mid-2015, but she had some issues before that, right? The breast implants and the IUD that escaped, the runaway IUD. Severity is pretty severe when it started, now moderate, but very annoying. So things are definitely better, you know, probably some of the supplementation and things that she did. She restricts her diet. And muting. Somebody came in unmuted. She restricts her diet. She restricts rice and corn as well as all grains. She does still consume non-pasture-raised, non-grass-fed meats as well as farm fish when eating out. So at home, it sounds like she's eating farmed and pastured, but when she's out, she doesn't, which would introduce some grains into her system because of the feed. She always felt worse when reintroducing rice or corn. And this is something to really reestablish with people. You know, if you know it's a problem, don't continue to do it, even if it resolves quickly, because it's putting that strain and load on the body. She stopped garlic and onions for a month and also seemed to improve the symptoms. But she didn't know about the FODMAP diet, so she didn't go on that whole thing. She used HCL and pepsin for a while, which improved the symptoms at the time. I'm a little confused about this, and maybe you can clarify this. Claudia, is she stopped eating onions and garlic for a month, which seemed to improve. Does that mean that she's gone back, or that was most recently when you wrote this? She believes that her symptoms are at least partially due to stress and due to the fact that she does eat on the run and does not chew well when she does. So she had two endoscopies in 2015. Endoscopies is a scope that you get put down. We talk about it in our modules. We tell you a little bit about that. Whoops. Let me just get that back. The first one had to be aborted because they found a blockage consisting of vegetable matter. She was asked to drink 2 quarts of Coke, which eventually dissolved the matter. Whew, that's crazy. So there was apparently, if she's got a blockage consisting of vegetable matter, that there's some motility issues in the gut, right? Because either a stricture where the fiber couldn't pass through, or a motility issue that caused the problem of the vegetable matter not going. So one of the things she said was that after the endoscopies, a lot of the symptoms got better, probably because that blockage was removed. You know, who knows why she developed that in the first place? It could be sympathetic dominance, which inhibits the vagus nerve, and vagus nerve supports the migrating motor complex, which allows for the peristalsis through the small intestine. Okay. So very likely that's why she did feel better. Now, drinking 2 quarts of Coke to break it down seems a little bit odd to me, but that just says how strong Coke is in terms of being an erosive type material. The second one went okay. No inflammation or ulceration. Everything seemed normal. Okay, so it might be that the aborted endoscopy, the first one, getting rid of that mass that was in there helped. The question would be, why did she have that mass develop in the first place? Could be the eating on the run. It could be the hyperstimulation of the sympathetic nervous system. They didn't see any, I'm assuming they didn't see any strictures or involutions of the intestines. So those are common problems. So it could just have been from the high levels of stress. So the gastroenterologist wanted her to do a 2-hour digestion x-ray study of the stomach consisting of eating a cup of radioactive oatmeal. Her stomach couldn't pre-digest the oatmeal within the given time frame. So clearly, I don't know, oatmeal seems a little bit odd if you're testing the stomach, because oatmeal isn't really a high protein food, and that's what starts there. But it's basically saying that they gave her basically a certain length of time that they expected in a normal person the oatmeal would be digested. Hers wasn't. So there's definitely an issue in the stomach. It could be it's not really peristalsis in the stomach. It's the motion, like washing machine type motion that's gone through to mix up the contents. And it could be an enzymatic or chemical. She also has some hormone-related problems, started 15 years ago, age 30, feeling very emotional and weepy, anxious, and irritable. After she would stop to nurse, and when she started to have her third and fourth period, she would feel worse for some time after the fourth child. She'd also experience breast tenderness, more bloating, and back aches. Now, breast tenderness, I mean, it could be definitely related to the hormonal imbalance, and definitely could be related to the inserts that she had. That started in 2001, so yeah, 15 years ago. Let's see what she did then. She got relief with Chinese herbs. At age 16 until 19, she was put on the pill since she didn't have her period. So hormonal issues don't go back to 2001. They go back to puberty, right? And the saline breast implants are there for more than 19 years. But she didn't get her period, and then she was put on the pill at age 16. Her hormonal problems predated that. So we would also like to look at what was going on, you know, what kind of diet, what kind of imbalances did she have that predisposed to having such severe hormonal imbalances. Wow, her last two children were conceived during using IVF to her husband's age. So they really wanted seven children, because usually people don't do IVF after they've already had five children. So, you know, more power to her. But this is putting a lot of strain on her body that's already stressed out. So I'm hoping that those are her last. Well, her OBGYN suggested an antidepressant, which she declined. She tried to address her hormonal issues with acupuncture treatments as well as herbal remedies. She stopped when those irritated her stomach. She's never taken any bioidentical hormones or supplements like GABA, 5-HTP, or any kinds of, you know, neurotransmitter support. The current practitioners are a kinesiologist, an acupuncturist, and an internist. So she's getting a wide range of care. Here's where you get to. Okay, so let's see. She's on a restricted diet, paleo style, and she's vigilant. So when you say vigilant, I'm assuming that means that she's not eating sugar, she's not eating any grains, especially gluten, she's not eating any dairy. So really, I would love to hear your response to that, if that's true or not true, because that's what I would say if somebody says they're on a restrictive paleo diet, that she's eating good fats. And I'd also, whenever somebody says they're on a paleo diet, I want to know how much meat they're eating, because there's a healthy way to do a paleo diet, and I think there's an imbalanced way of doing a paleo diet. And a lot of times, people are just eating bacon and sausage and lots of meat, even if it's organic, but they're eating lots of meat and a lot of fat throughout the day. And that doesn't work for a lot of people, for most people, because you're not getting enough nutrients in your vegetables. Let's see. She changes it constantly biweekly. So I'd like to know more about that. Why is she constantly changing it, the supplement? So EPA, DHA. So I want to know which of these she's consistent with. So I believe you mean EPA, DHA, not DHEA. Yeah, Jacqueline asked, does no sugar also include natural sugars such as raw honey and maple syrup? Yes, if someone has an issue with gut dysbiosis and someone has an issue with blood sugar, absolutely. Lohan or stevia would be fine. Lohan or stevia would be fine. The times when you restrict Lohan or stevia is when somebody has such a severe susceptibility to food addiction that even having Lohan or stevia is going to create that food addiction, and then they're going to go out and have other stuff. This doesn't sound like this is this person. Dried fruit probably, as well as eating farm-raised meat and eating out 3 times a week. Okay. So, all right. So there are some exposures. Got it. And I would like to know, what does she eat when she goes out? Does she just order fish and vegetables, or meat and vegetables, or does she then use that as a license to eat some other things that she normally wouldn't? Oh, they're in the restaurant business. Okay. All right. So here's the thing, right? She eats dried fruits and she bloats a bit. So you need to counsel her to stop the dried fruit and the Mary's crackers. She gets bloated. So she does eat grains. Okay. Cause Mary's crackers have quinoa and millet, I believe, in them. Okay. So these are little things like we talked about with Karen before, but these little things can make a huge difference. So you've got to be able to tell people we're going to track your symptoms. And if anything causes the symptoms, even if it's mild, we're going to get rid of it. We're going to get rid of it for a time. You're going to do a 30-day cleanse or reset or whatever you want to call it. You've got to get them off of this stuff. You've got to be really clean. Lynn asked, are there sulfites in the dried fruit? Sure, if that's a problem too, but dried fruit in general can be problematic. Sounds like she's probably careful about not getting the pretty yellow apricots, but if she eats it when she's out, yeah, could be problematic. Toxic exposures. Diesel fuel spilled in their basement very recently, 2 weeks ago. Yeah, so, you know, this is a problem that goes back a long ways. No mold as far as they can tell, but she does have mercury fillings as a child. So you want to know how many of those does she have? And if she's had them as a child, they're probably getting old and they are leaking more than they would have years ago. So that's something to keep on your list of looking into getting her to get rid of. Anemia a year ago. What kind of anemia? Is it iron deficiency anemia, B12 deficiency anemia? And how does it resolve? So I'd like to see what that is. She's always had low blood pressure, says to me her adrenals might be shot. And that's a real good reason, an explanation of why people don't get their periods and have menstrual disorders from real early on. B12 is out of range. We'll look at the labs in a minute. Was taking stress B and basic B on and off for the next month, the last months. So here's some of her stuff. She does get exercise. She does get outside. She does have a little bit of relaxation and meditation mixed in there. Did in the past on greens. Why did she stop? I always like to ask that. Why did she stop? Was it because she got bloated and, couldn't tolerate them, or did she stop because she got busy with those 7 kids and didn't have time to make them? So that's what I would be looking at. Did in the past, how far past? Are we talking the last couple of years? Are we talking before, like before 2015 when this whole thing started? So as she was a ballet dancer as a child and a teen, she exercised 4 days a week, 3 to 4 hours a day. That might be why she didn't get her periods, because that stress of that excessive exercise plus low body fat. I mean, she's thin right now at 130 and 5'10". So that low body fat might have contributed to the hormone imbalances and may still be. But there are things to look at and to do. No soft drinks, consumed sugar in the past. I'd be real, just like I would get a diet diary and look to see exactly what she's eating. But she is eating out 3 times a week. So I'd be really asking her to check what she's eating when she's out. Tap water 3 times a week. I'm assuming it's when she goes out to eat. Purified water regularly and only sleeps 8 hours a night or more 2 times a week, which is not surprising with babies. I'm surprised she's able to do that at all with 7 kids. So she's doing some things right. There are still some things that she could do differently. And what we're going to do is look at some of her labs. Okay, so I'm going to stop the share. I'm going to go to a new share. And I'm going to open up my Excel sheet that has her labs in it. I think it's this one. And you should see a new, nope, that's not it. Sorry. Let me do this again. Pause share. New share. There we go. I saw your name on the different place. So I'm going to shrink this to make it so that you're going to see it better. Right now it's spread out and it's probably pretty. You're probably not seeing it yet because I paused share. So resume share. I'm going to take this. For those of you in NEPT, you'll recognize this. This is our... I'm just going to do this. Are there any others here? This is our Master Health Tracker, and I'm just going to see if there's anything in any of these other columns or if it's just the one lab. Yeah, it's just the one. Okay, so what I'm going to do to make this easier to see is I'm just going to remove these. Hopefully they'll let me get rid of them. Can't. Okay. I'm going to see if it'll let me delete them. Okay, good. Now I can make this a little bit bigger. Zoom. Let's see if I can do, make it, it's only 45%, so let's make it 75%. That might help. There. Okay, so, Okay, good. What the heck, Labyrinth? What happened to this sheet? Let me undo. Okay, there we go. I must have made a mistake. All right. Zoom. Make it a little bit bigger. I don't want 100%. I want 75%. Okay, there we go. All right, so the way that this chart works, I'm going to move it over. This is why I did the way I did it, where I set it up, and I apologize for not doing this one in advance, but I've forgotten about it. I had it in my mind, but I, you know, wasn't top of mind last night when I was doing all the rest of this. Okay, my mouse is still giving me pain. All right, we'll just do it as is. Can you guys see this? Okay, so she was told by her gastro doc to stop eating the greens. She eats them daily, only had to stop for 2 weeks. But she shouldn't have had to stop drinking like juices because there's no fiber in those. So that's like where there's a misunderstanding by the doc that doesn't really know a lot about nutrition. All right, so let's look at some of her findings. She is a 75 on glucose. You know, and you guys should know that fasting glucose doesn't really mean a whole lot in relationship to blood sugar balance. Somebody can have a perfect fasting glucose, but their hemoglobin A1C could be high, their insulin can be high. So there's a lot more, and we're going to be teaching, we're actually going to be redoing our insulin resistance training probably soon. We'll be announcing it, and then we'll be doing it in February, March-ish. So if you haven't been in that program, you'll enjoy that a lot because there's so much more to do. This is our spreadsheet, and we basically, when you put the number in, it turns to green if it's in a good range. Hers is in a good range. Let me make sure that this is the right one. Is this the person from before? Or is this, yeah, this is not the right one. Oh, la, la, la. Let me close that one. Save. Don't save. All right, so let me open this other one. And okay, case study, Claudia. Okay, this is the one. All right, yeah, so this is the one where we have ferritin. Good. All right, let me share the screen. Well, it's actually getting warm in my office here now. I was really freezing before. Okay, so it says screen share stopped as the window closed. And now I'm going to say share screen. And I'm going to choose the spreadsheet. I'm having a hard time finding it. This one. All right, now you can see her. And you're going to see a lot of problems in her lab. So we're going to see if we can help you to figure out what the next steps are and what might be going on for her. So I'm going to shrink this down a bit because it's a little too big. I'm going to put it to, um, 50%. Let's do that. 50% might be too small. I'm going to get rid of, make it a little bigger. 75%. Okay, good. All right, so let me get to the top. Okay, so her glucose is 83. That's good. Her blood urea nitrogen is 17. So there's not an indication necessarily of low stomach acid and not being able to produce or digest protein. Creatinine, all these things are looking good. Sodium, etc. Her calcium's low. Oh, we usually don't see calcium low. Now, it's not pathologically low, but it's borderline low. So we want to be looking at that. Her protein is a little bit high. And what I have over here is this little description. And when protein is a little bit high, it can actually mean dehydration. So we're going to look and see if there's other signs of dehydration here. Let's see. There we go. Let's go back up. I don't know why it keeps moving on me. Let's see what else we might have a problem with. Her alkaline phosphatase super low. That has a lot to do with the health of the stomach, the stomach acid. You can't make good stomach acid without zinc. So I would be looking at zinc supplementation for her in an ionic form, in a form where she is going to get it liquid, fully ionized to make it get in better. All right, so she's having some issues with high protein, high globulin, which could be dehydration. Alkaline phosphatase is low. Her cholesterol's high, given she's a little person. Her triglycerides are low. Her HDLs are high. HDLs high can actually indicate some kind of inflammation, especially in the liver. Her triglyceride ratio has never seen any that low. So blood sugar is probably not an issue for this woman, but digestion might be, and lipid metabolism for sure. And I would be, she was an athlete, so she did a lot of, that might be why her HDLs are that high. It doesn't seem like she is anymore, but she was as a teenager. Look through here. Thyroid, there's not enough information for me to tell anything about her thyroid. Her TSH looks fine, but her free T4 is low. So there's definitely an issue. There may be an excess estrogen situation, which might explain some of the hormonal imbalances, right? So estrogen dominance could explain that. So that's why I would be looking at that. But I would also look to get a full thyroid panel to see if she also has a conversion issue, like a free T3. But yeah, and a total T4. Without the total T4, the free T4 doesn't tell us much. Total T4 is the total of what the thyroid makes. Free is what the cells can actually utilize. And the free is not protein bound, whereas the thyroxine is, the total is protein bound. If that is, if there's a low amount of, or too much of the protein that binds it, the thyroid binding globulin, then what happens is we see low active hormones, low free hormones, which are not going to be very helpful. So, and estrogen causes that to happen. Excess estrogen or an estrogen dominance can cause that to happen. So we don't have enough about her thyroid, but we know there's probably something going on here and it might be related to excess estrogen. What we're doing as we go through these things is looking for clues. And the more you learn how to do this, the better you get at pulling the clues together. Okay, we're going to look at her CBC. Her white count is very low. Oftentimes white count very low is indicative of there being an autoimmune process or a chronic low-grade infection. Red blood cells are normal, but her hemoglobin is way low. And you mentioned about her having anemia. Okay, so we're going to look to see what's going on with that, what kind of anemia it might be. Her hematocrit is also very low. Her MCV is very low. So this is the differentiator. She's got, it's clear pattern for microcytic anemia, which is usually an iron deficiency anemia. So I saw that you did ferritin, or the doc did ferritin. So let's see if we can get this moved down so I can see it. There's also issues here with her neutrophils and lymphocytes. Her neutrophils are a little on the lower side of normal, but the lymphocytes are higher, and that is indicative oftentimes of a viral infection. So she may have some kind of chronic viral infection. It could be an EBV. It could be any number of others, hepatitis, something like that. But her liver enzymes are fine, so unlikely to be hepatitis. But let's look at what else, because those should add up. Her monocytes are high. Monocytes indicate either that there's a currently healing infection, you're in the chronic and acute thing, or it's a chronic low-grade kind of infection. And that's consistent with the high levels of lymphocytes and the low levels of white blood cells. So my guess is that she's got some sort of a low-grade viral thing going on. Not so much bacterial, but viral, right? Let's go from there and see what else we have. Her ferritin is 4. She's clearly extreme anemia. What's the date on this one? I don't have a date here. 11/4/16. So this is recent. This is only, you know, less than 2 months ago. Very anemic. Her vitamin D is very low. Not very low, but it's low. Her B12 is real high in the serum. That could be a methylation issue where she's not getting it into the cells, right? But her B12, there's no indication of B12 deficiency, but that's not, we don't have enough to know if she really has a problem with that. But that's something to keep in mind. She may have some methylation issues, and the activated B12 is not getting into the cells because she has issues with methylating and getting it into the cells. Her folate's fine. So I think that's it. Yeah, so as far as the iron stuff is concerned, she needs to address this. I would get her really on some kind of good form of iron. We don't have her actual serum iron, so I don't like it when they just do ferritin. They think they're just saving money, like when they just do TSH. But it really is not accurate, because I've sometimes seen really low ferritin but high iron. And that indicates some issues with the conversion. It could be a liver issue and vice versa. So we know her ferritin's super low. I'm going to assume her iron is low, but I would retest it. You can get her to take an herb called yellow dock if that satisfies and soothes. That can also help her stomach to be able to better handle minerals and absorb minerals better. So it's one of my favorite ways to do it. But given it's this low, you might also look at something in the short term, maybe a bottle's worth or a month's worth of something that has all the cofactors. I've had really good results with the vitamin code raw iron, and I've had really good results with Perks. I think it's called Hematin. So those have, they're full-fledged irons that have B6 and C and other things in them. So I would definitely need to get her iron, her levels up. But the other thing that I'm seeing with this person is, there's two things that could be helpful. One is to get her her hormones tested. Number one, get her hormones tested. Dutch test is really good because it also tests for the adrenals and the impact and all of the little things in between. Dutch tests can be run with the adrenal for about $250. And you can go out there to our site to order to go directly to their site. She could just go directly to their site, Precision Analytics. So I'd have her do that. And I'd really start working with her on her relaxation pieces and her mindset pieces. I know she obviously has 7 kids, but she needs to be able to get some relaxation in and get her sympathetic down. Doing that Dutch test is going to really point out to us where that is. I think a lot of her gut stuff is related based on what I'm seeing, but I also think that there's some kind of overgrowth happening. It could be a liver type thing, like an EBV virus or a hepatitis type thing, or it could be something in the gut. So a number of things you can do as your next steps, depending on her budget. If she has the budget for it, that NutriVal would be awesome, because it gives you an idea of the gut stuff as well as neurotransmitters. I would be looking at her B vitamin status and making sure that she's getting consistently getting the at least the B6, all right? B6 as pyridoxal 5-phosphate and magnesium. Going back to some of her symptoms, which are more related to cyclic, let me pull that one up again. Where did it go? Nope, not that one. It was the PDF one. There we go. Going back to some of her symptoms, it's periods, and she's got this. Yeah, so the other thing you might also do is when you do the Dutch, I would do the cycle mapping. Do the Dutch cycle mapping, because that's going to give you an idea of exactly where she's out of balance. All right. As far as her gut's concerned, if she's still having that feeling of pain and fullness and burning and all that, I would get her back on to some sort of a demulcent, whether it's the DGL licorice. She did well with the PeptiGuard. She can go back on that, or some DGL licorice with slippery elm. There's any number of things that she can do to address that. But I would take her through step by step through the entire process in GRAND to find out where things are going awry, and just, not GRAND, but, you know, in CMDS, but it's part of what we do for GRAND. You can get her to sign up for the GRAND and you can guide her through it. But I think that one by one, step by step, starting with the mind, starting with sitting down and not eating on the run. If she has to eat on the run, don't, right? Stop. Take a few seconds, do a heart math breathing exercise to get herself into sympathetic. Look at some of the vagus nerve stimulation techniques, and we have that in the program. I think it's in the very last, the gut-brain connection videos. Get her on some of those things, some of those vagus nerve stimulation things, and figure out if there's a gut bug. So the ideal, if she has unlimited funds, the testing that I would do would be the Dutch with the cycle mapping, the NutriVal, and the a stool test. Those would be the three, right? Upper vitamin D. I don't know how much she's taking, if she's taking any, but she said she's intermittent with her stuff. Get her on a regular D. You can get her to take 50,000 liquid D once a week even. It doesn't have to be every single day to get her D levels up. And get her off the dried fruits and any sugars. Mary's crackers, get her off. I'd have her do an elimination diet. I'd give her the list, the gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, peanuts, anything else, dried fruits. Just get her off of all that, the sugars, and then test her, do an elimination, tell her you're going to do a 7-day elimination, and then gradually increase things back in. I would also recommend that elimination, if she can do it, would be liquid if she can. If she can do a 7-day juice thing, and maybe because she's thin, she can add some extra coconut oil to it. Like coconut MCT oil is really easy to digest and can really be helpful. And there's a number of things like that. But she needs a cleanse. She needs a calming down of her gut. She needs demulcents. And I would also have her get checked for a hiatal hernia, not by the medical doctors, because they only will see an overt one, someone who can see a functional subclinical one, like a chiropractor or an osteopath that's been trained to do that. All right. I'm going to stop the share. Oh, I stopped the share. Oh, I wasn't showing the share. Darn. So you guys didn't see her labs, but I told you what I was seeing. So, all right. So we're not doing share. Let me see if I can find my chat window again. All right. Yeah, her ferritin level was 4. Ferritin level was 4. That was, so the main things that were out of balance on her labs, let me see if I can put it back up and share it again. Okay, so I'm going to say new share. I don't know. I told it to share the screen earlier. Unpause. No, resume. Resume share. Okay, you should be able to see this here. That 4 is a ferritin. So the things that were problematic, the things that were problematic were the ferritin, the low free T4, which makes me suspicious about estrogen dominance, the protein and was high, so possibly dehydration. So you can't overlook looking at their hydration. So many people will say things like, yeah, I drink plenty of water. I drink a quart a day. Like, blah, blah, blah. Unless you're a little kid, drinking a quart a day of water is not enough. Right. And, must have gotten knocked out. So the other thing was the neutrophils, the lymphocytes are a little high. The monocytes are a little high. I'm suspicious of a chronic viral infection. So that could be ruled out. And that can be done. You can do antibodies for that, et cetera. Lots of stuff that you can do for that. All right. Any questions? Lynn put up a link to Yellow Doc. No, we ran through that quickly, but I wanted to make sure that we did. It's a complicated case. It's only partially, it's a combination of the digestion and the hormones, and the hormones can be affecting the digestion. As far as giving her some symptomatic relief from this anxiety and depression, the cycle mapping is going to help a lot. I remember having someone who was like that. The doctor offered her the antidepressant. She didn't want to do it. And when we mapped out her cycle, it turned out that she had some weird stuff, I don't remember exactly, going on mid-cycle, where the estrogen dominance was ridiculous, probably. And we did some things to balance out her cycle and helped tremendously. And she had had years of infertility, and it actually helped that too, because she ended up having another baby. Okay. Yeah, her ferritin level was 4. And we don't have her iron level, so we can't compare. Okay, let's see what else. Janine says, what's the test called at 23andMe? It's 23andMe. It's their full test with the health and the ancestry. It's the only test they have. Oh, that's a great thing to know. If you go to the More button right above my type to the right, you can save the chat to a text file and then edit what you want to keep for future reference. That's awesome. I know this automatically, it saves it for us, so we should be able to have that happen, but we don't usually edit because it just takes too much time to do that. That's good to know though, Stan, especially when I'm on other people's stuff. She is eating onion and garlic again without a problem. Motility issues, possibly thyroid. Yeah. She definitely has low free T4. So yeah, if she has a gut motility issues, that would affect her thyroid output. Yeah. It could, but also if she has a thyroid problem, it's going to affect her gut motility. She has herpes. Okay, there we go. So we nailed it, right? It doesn't lie. So rotating antiviral type herbs. I would look at, in the Medical Medium book, one of the things I like is his EBV protocol, which can work for herpes. There's also Stephen Buhner. He has a book called Antivirals, Natural Antivirals. You always have to be rotating them, though. Always have to be rotating them. And that would, herpes virus will definitely affect the thyroid and a lot of other things. You can look at her lysine arginine balance, which is what you can get if you actually get her to do the NutriVal, because you can look at those amino acids and see if those are out of balance. High arginine foods can aggravate herpes infections. All right, I think I'm almost at the bottom. I'm trying to. Is there anything else? Keep whole if you want to sit and re-listen to the recording. It would make more sense, yeah, than edit what you need at length. Make notes. That's great. Great ideas, Stan. Okay. Any questions at this point before we go to the more formal presentation? I'm going to stop the share. And I'm going to go to... Okay, I'm going to go to share screen on my, there. All right, so you should be back to seeing my community education slide. How are we doing? Any questions or comments about this? Okay, Lynn's so good about putting up the links. She reads my mind sometimes too. Cool. All right. All right, so let's move on. I'm going to stop that recording and we'll do another recording.